it could be in vain. I want somebody to be saved every night. But I'm wondering tonight if there's anybody in the building that doesn't have an active church on, raise your hand. Maybe you used to go to church. One lady confessed Christ last night, she's been inactive. But is there anybody in the building? Maybe you used to be jammed up in church, but somewhere down the line, you got changed. I'm wondering if you could admit it and receive the rest. Raise your hand.
Kelly's Sitting Service is a personal care assistance agency. Kelly's assists with bathing, grooming, meal preparation, medication reminders, light housekeeping, laundry, and more. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for over 27 years. Kelly's is now providing services to our veterans in their homes. Locally owned and locally operated, with a desire to assist members of our community to remain in their homes for as long as possible. Thank you for giving Kelly's the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion, which has been our foundational qualities throughout our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion that have sustained this agency. Again, thank you for 27 years of service to Central Louisiana. Kelly's is an equal opportunity employer. For more information, 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. The website is KellyServiceHouston.com. Kelly's Sitting Service is another proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJO-FM.
Aw, you know kids will be kids.
Oh, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal of it. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
If she didn't want to be picked on, she shouldn't wear that thing on her head.
If he's going to dress that way, he's just asking for the extra attention.
It's just a stage. All kids face some bullying. They'll get over it.
That girl, she just brings it on herself. I don't feel bad for her at all.
It's just a stage. All kids face something. It's just a stage.
It's just a harmless rite of passage.
Don't validate. Eliminate. All students in Louisiana deserve a safe learning environment without the threat of bullying. I'm Debbie Moe, president of the Louisiana Association of Educators. It is up to us as educators, as parents, as adults to stand up on behalf of bullied students. Identify, intervene, and advocate. One caring adult can make all the difference.
Visit NEA.org/bullyfree. A message from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1. Crime Stoppers pays up to $2,500 for information leading to an arrest. Crime Stoppers pays, and you never give your name, and you never appear in court. No one knows but you and Crime Stoppers. Crime Stoppers reports the crime to the police, so you're never involved. Your life, your family, your home, your neighborhood, they're too precious to just give it to criminals. Get paid up to $2,500. 443-7867. 443-STOP. Don't ignore crime in your neighborhood. If you see something, know something, then say something. Crime Stoppers. 443-7867. 443-STOP.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want you to look at Psalms number 4 And I want to look at verse 1. Psalms number 4, verse 1. And the word says, hear me when I call. O God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. This is a word David speaks, and there are so many helpful holy hints for the believer as he or she finds themselves, him or herself, in various and diverse conditions of life, knowing that your relationship with God provides for you a platform to call him up, and as the old saints used to say, and tell him what you want. There is a word today that God wants to encourage the believers about. God has been placing in our spirit and talking about enlarging, about growing, about increasing, about moving to new levels and new places in him, because it is in him that we recognize and realize the potential for our growth in every area of our lives. One of the things that's so important is how God chooses to use us in the situations we are in. And sometimes we miss the message when we're going through a period of what may appear to be a wilderness experience or a construction experience. One of the problems with the construction process is that it sometimes feels like destruction rather than construction, because in that process sometimes things have to be torn up and torn down before they can be built up again. And so sometimes when we find ourselves in that place, we are confused as to what God is doing in our lives. God, I thought you promised me this. I thought you promised me that. I thought you would open this door. I thought you would make this way. You said you were going to do this, and you said you were going to do that. You said I was to be the head and not the tail. I was to be above and not beneath. But what you don't understand is the scripture says, for we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, for them who are the called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. But what we also must recognize is that God can take the good as well as the bad and bless us through that same platform. One of the interesting things about this word in the King James Version, it reads, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Then he says, have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Which means, brothers and sisters, you first got to have a relationship with God before you can ever have communication with God. And when I say communication, I'm talking about communication with an earnest desire to talk with God, to commune with God, and to have God do as only God can do. One of the things that you must also recognize, and I love this about this word that David shares with us, is David makes an interesting observation here. He says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. What does the word distress mean? The word distress means, it is defined in one dictionary as extreme pain, mental or physical. It means misfortune. It also means extreme poverty. Now, whatever place David was in, it was extreme.
That's at the place where you're about, you know, ready to throw in the towel. In that place where you can't see how you're going to make it out. In that place where you don't know how much longer you can hang on. In that place where it's never been as dark as it has ever been before. In that place where you feel, if the Lord don't show up soon, I don't know what I'll do. It's an extreme place. The word says in that definition, extreme pain. Now, your pain, listen at this, don't always have to be physical pain. Sometimes your distress is a physical issue. It's an issue in your body. It's a sickness in your body. But your distresses can be far greater than physical pain. How many of you know mental pain hurts just as bad? Because listen, do you not know you cannot have a pain in your body but be in mental distress and tears will flow just the same? You can be in mental distress and can't sleep a wink all night long. You can be in mental distress and lose your appetite, lose your joy, lose your ability to function and flow. The mental distress can be just as devastating as the physical distress. But then he says, misfortune. Just seem like it's one thing after another. It seems like if this wasn't bad enough, something else is worse. It seems like every time this thing goes bad, something else joins up with it. It seems like I'm between a rock and a hard place. I mean, just seems like it just keep happening. One bad thing after another. This get disconnected. Soon as you pay that, this else comes a notice of disconnect. You trying to make it from one paycheck to the next paycheck, and even before you can get to that paycheck, here come another bill due. I mean, it's a misfortune after a misfortune. You get your car fixed, and then your air condition go out.
That's right.
It just makes you want to ask the question, what next? Don't ask that question, because I promise you they got something else coming. But then it also says extreme poverty is a distress.
That's right.
I ain't talking about just don't have no money now. I'm talking about don't have none, don't know when you're gonna get none, don't seem like nobody gonna give you none. I mean, that's extreme poverty where you don't really have a place to call your own. You don't know when you're gonna get your next meal. You don't know, I mean, you're living at the mercy of other folk. I mean, extreme poverty. Wherever David was, David said, listen at this, in that same place, when I was in it, you enlarged. Listen to this, because I want you to see. I want to let you know we're talking about. Are you ready for something bigger? Because here is literally what David is saying, and this is what you've got to be ready for. Because if you're not ready for something bigger, you're not going to be able to get what God has prepared for you. Let me use the hermit crab. Who has ever heard of the hermit crab? Well, let me give you a little lesson about the life of a hermit crab if you've never heard of it. A hermit crab is a sea creature that does not actually have a shell of its own. And what it does is it finds a shell and it crawls into that shell. And it lives in that shell for as long as it can fit in the shell. But when the shell gets too tight and it can't go out and come in with comfort, it kicks the shell off. And it scurries around the ocean floor until it finds a big enough shell that will meet its growing needs. And then when it finds a larger shell, it stays in that shell as it grows larger and larger until that shell no longer fits. But listen, when that becomes uncomfortable, it kicks that shell off. And it keeps on scurrying the ocean floor until it finds something large enough for its next level of growth. And then it gets in that shell. And what I'm trying to help you understand is it does that till it dies. Well, if the hermit crab has sense enough not to stop getting a larger shell until it dies, what about you? Ask your neighbor, are you ready for something bigger? Ask your other neighbor, are you ready for something bigger? See, what you don't understand is you can't grow but so much sometimes where you are, and it's not until you kick off the shell and you start looking for something bigger that something bigger is going to be able to accommodate you. Oh, I wish I had a witness up in the house. Listen at this, because one thing we don't understand is how, you know, we find ourselves forcing ourselves to live in a situation that we have outgrown.
Yes, sir.
We're clinging on to something that's stunting our growth. Listen at this. Just because it's easy and because it's familiar doesn't mean that it's right for you. And so one time when we look at this and you see David says, and I like the way the Amplified Version read. Look at what the Amplified Version says. We were reading from the King James Version. But the Amplified Version says, you freed me. When I was hemmed in and enlarged me when I was in distress. You freed me. When I was hemmed in. I don't know if you've ever been hemmed in, but hemmed in means you know it's too small. And you ain't comfortable, and you're trying to get out, but sometimes you got to work yourself out of the shell you're in. It ain't gonna just fall off because it's got you. Oh, Lord. See, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about because you comfortable right where you are in your shack. Crab shack, that is. You snug and calm and comfortable. Can't nobody else fit in. Can't nobody else get in. I'm right where I am. I ain't got to look no more. I ain't got to go no further. But you also don't grow anymore. Listen at you. What worked for you yesterday may not work for you today. Listen at this. Maybe it's a job that you've outgrown. See, jobs many times are designed to take us from one place and post and one pay to another. And sometimes if the job does not sufficiently supply your needs and there is no chance for promotion, maybe you've outgrown it. And so it means maybe you've got to kick the shell of that job off you and find another that not only provides the necessary present day needs, but growth for tomorrow. So maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a relationship you need to re-examine.
All right.
You know, maybe it's a relationship that just keeps taking, but not giving. And y'all got quiet over here. That's all right. Because the Bible says what God hath joined together. How many of you know God ain't joined all this junk that's together? I ain't calling your situation junk. You examine that. But the word says what God had. So maybe you can't get out of that what you need because it is really not yours. It's not what God has joined together. And so that's why you're always in the place that you're in. Maybe not only that, maybe it's a behavior you need to change. You know God ain't in it. You know God isn't pleased with it. And yet it is that same behavior that is bringing you down and bringing you out of God's will and never will bring you into a place where God would have you to be. You know what you're doing. You know where you are. You know what's in your mind. You know what your heart. Regardless of what it is, never become so settled. Listen to me well. That you are not willing to shake off that old shell.
Yes, sir.
And move on to something that better fits you. Listen at this, because What he makes so clear is, and I love this about this word, is the fact that he says, verse 1 again in the King James Version, hear me when I call. He's establishing this protocol, this relationship that he wants. He says, oh God of my righteousness. He recognized that the righteousness that he lives and he experiences is from God. It is God's standard, God's structure, and it is the way that God wants him to operate. And so if he operates in righteousness, certainly he has no problem calling the God of his righteousness. And the Bible says, when I do that, I expect an answer. Yeah. Amplified Version says that he really expects God to answer him, not just hear him. And so answer means that I know when I dial 111, I'm going to get connected, and I'm not going to just get a hello, but I'm going to get an answer to my prayer. Yeah. You see, the prayer, the believer must talk to God in faith, must believe God in faith, must call God in faith. And when you call him in faith, you believe that before he picks up, you're already planning your celebration party. Because what you request of him is his word, is his will, is his way, and he is not a man that he should lie. So he is going to honor what he has said. So if my petition lines up with what he has promised, when I call him up, I just want the answer. God, I'm just calling to say such and such and such and so. I already know what the answer is, but I just want to hear you say it. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Listen to this, because I want you to see something else. Patience and persistence are admirable. Come on. And no matter what it is you're going through, sometimes it requires patience. And sometimes it might require persistence because things aren't perfect. But listen at this. As they work in their way, they don't always work in all situations. Listen, situations especially that you've outgrown. What are you going to be patient for and persistent in a thing that you've outgrown? Yeah. Yeah. What's going to come of the outcome of your need or necessity to grow when the shell isn't going to do anything but crack? Yeah. 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 Somebody missed all that. Let me help you understand. If you keep growing, yeah, and you stay in your shell, one of two things is going to happen. The shell, if it's strong enough, will prevent you from growing to your full potential, and you will feel every crack and nuance of that shell. But here is the thing. If you have the persistence to keep growing beyond the shell, you still won't be able to stay in the shell, because you're going to force the shell to grow beyond its ability to grow, and you're going to crack it, and it'll no longer be useful for you. So you're still going to have to find another place to grow. Some of us are still trying to make stuff work we know is over. That's all I'm trying to tell you. You've been knew it was over. But you just wait until somebody else say, somebody saying something here. You know you didn't want to be on that job years ago. But I ain't never quit a job. But you can't pay your bills and get what you want. Something's wrong with that. If you want something bigger and better, you can't be satisfied with the status quo. See, we made it sound like there's something wrong with that, when all through the Word of God, God's about increase, he's about development, he's about growth, he's about, you know, enlargement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the will of God for us. Amen. That's the will of God. That's the Spirit of God that the people of God ought to have of God. So that, listen to this, I am in a place where I'm content, but I am not at the place where I'm complacent. So that means as long as it works right, then it's all right. Yeah. But when it ceases to work the way it's supposed to work, then I ain't all right with that. All right. And I'm not going to settle for being where I'm not supposed to be, when where I'm supposed to be is supposed to be in the will of God, where he constantly moves to new places that stretch out, that causes me to come out of my comfort zone. Yeah. Listen, you, wherever you are, and you've been there a long time, the longer you're there, you become comfortable no matter how cramped. When you don't want to move. I said, listen, you become comfortable, but at that same place, even so, you continue to get cramped, but that's all right because you don't want to move, don't have the mentality to go beyond where you are. Because you don't want the people to talk about you. Really been up in that shell for 20 years. Ain't nobody that's worth their salt gonna remain in kindergarten, elementary, just because you did good up there. High school. I mean, look, there is a period there. There is a place there. There is a purpose there. But listen, when you get it, you got to get it and move on. Touch your neighbor and say, get it and move on. Now, you can't move on till you get it, but when you get it, you need to. Because God is, listen, he is stretching you. He is maturing you. He is causing you to enlarge so that you can reach beyond where you are and look for that next level. The reason why he makes you uncomfortable in your present shell is to give you an understanding that you ought to be looking for the next place to grow.
That's right.
Some of us are still in small places with God. And you go through what you go through because God is trying to prepare you for larger things. God's trying to take you to higher places. And he lets you go through what you go through to give you another experience to trust him. And as you trust him, he allows you the ability to try him on another level, coming out of your comfort zone. Some of you are in places you ought not be. Because you've outgrown them. Outgrown them. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. When you recognize that instead of hanging in and trying to hold on to certain points and places, you ought to stop and ask yourself, is this situation good for me? See, because one of the problems with good people is we're always trying to figure out if it's good for somebody else. See, and so we get hindered and hampered from moving on because we're in a place where we're concerned more about, is it good for others? What are they going to do if I go? What's going to happen to me if I stay?
All right, now. Hemmed in.
Amen. You got me hemmed in. My head always hurts. Because I got all this pressure on me. And I know, listen, I'm hemmed in here, but I ought to be out there. Listen at this. So when you get to that point, maybe you might need to recognize, I've got to find myself with an understanding mind. Go to 1 Kings, if you will. I want you to see this. Because when you see and recognize that in order for you to move where God wants you to, sometime it takes you in a place that you just have got to become uncomfortable about. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. This is when Solomon was asking for wisdom. Because see, a whole lot of us, again, are too good-hearted and kind-hearted. And folk think we're weak-hearted because we're trying to make sure it's well with everybody. But you need to realize you've got to make it well with yourself before you can begin to make it well with someone else. Look again with 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. Now look at what he says. That I may discern between good and bad. And for who is able to judge this thy so great people? Now, one of the things that Solomon was saying was, listen, God, one of the things that I want to do is make sure that my judgment is correct, that my judgment is true. I want to know how to judge between good and bad or right and wrong. And so maybe you, like Solomon, in your situation, in the place where you are, may say, God, I need you to give me an understanding heart so that I'll know when it's time to move. I'll know when it's time to grow. I'll know when it's time to make this decision or make that decision. I want to know what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, so that fear does not grip you and you settle for where you are. You're so afraid of the future, but you're in a miserable place in the present. And you've got to see, brothers and sisters, so many of us are hemmed in by our own understanding. That's why Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, let me say this to you. What's the sense in directing your paths if God don't intend for you to go nowhere? Listen at this. And the only way you can really go somewhere is if you go back to the beginning of verse 5. He said,